We gather for prayer and we say, Lord, bless the missionaries. This coming Thursday, I trust that each of you will have a place to go and enjoy a meal with your family and your friends. And when it comes time to partake of the bounty of the table, I'm sure you're going to hear somebody say, would you please ask the blessing for the meal? On the 4th of July, we sing, and I've always liked this song because it really is a prayer, God bless America. The psalmist, five separate times, said, bless the Lord, O my soul. By the way, I love singing the song that has those words as well. We also sing, there shall be showers of blessings. The benediction that often occurs in church services, the Lord bless you and keep you. Sometimes when we're hit with setbacks, something financial, something tragic in our lives, maybe something that we lost that we hoped would come to fruition in our life, oftentimes we'll back away and say, well, perhaps it was just a blessing in disguise. When we enjoy good health, it's frequent to say, I've been blessed with good health. Even when a person sneezes, we use that word, bless you. Now, I'm going to lose a good portion of the audience, so I'm going to have to explain. I'm getting to that age where I have to realize that not everybody's going to connect with some of the things from the 50s and 60s, but raise your hand if you're even familiar, ever heard the name Tennessee Ernie Ford. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. Raise your hand if you've never heard that name before. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, I'm about that age. Yeah. Well, Tennessee Ernie Ford was one of these southern guys that was in the country singing business back when it was really country, not all the stuff that they do. Yeah, hey. Finally, an amen. Who was that? All right. You come up on the front. Oh, boy. Well, Tennessee Ernie Ford, he had this saying, God bless your pea-picking heart. Some churches, and we happen to be one of them, is unusually blessed because we have in our parking lot a vehicle that says, bless my soul. Yeah. Dixie. Okay, Dixie and Josh, you need to be up on the front here. Yeah. I told Dixie on Wednesday, you're going to really love this message because it's about God's blessings. We'll come in a moment to the biblical meanings of the word bless, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But here's what the English dictionary has to say about the word bless: to consecrate or sanctify by a religious rite, to request of God the bestowal of divine favor, to bestow good of any kind upon others. And lastly, to extol as holy, to glorify, as in, bless the Lord, O my soul. So how do we know whether something is a blessing? I want to share with you a quote from A.W. Tozer. And I like to use this in regards to all that we do. And he said this, if it's good, God did it. If it's bad, I did it, and it's worse than it looks. That says a lot. That says that when blessings come, it is not because of us, it is because of Him. And any blessings that come through us ultimately found its foundation in Him. How serious should we take the business of blessings? Well, this one is very convicting. George Lichtenberg said, never undertake anything for which you wouldn't have the courage to ask the blessing of heaven. Now, as I read that and I think of some of the choices, decisions, thoughts, words, whatever, places to go, things to do, that's convicting. Before you ever say it, before you ever go, before you ever do, before you ever read, before you ever watch, Lord, I ask your blessing on this. Very convicting. One more quote, Warren Wiersbe in his book, Bless You, he says, if we were to remove the words blessed, or blessing from the Christian vocabulary, our prayer life, congregational worship, and even our preaching would be greatly affected. Now, if I asked for hands to be raised, everybody in this room would raise their hand and say, I would love to have the blessing of God on my life. I want it, you want it, and I want to dig into the scriptures this morning and see how God blesses us and how he uses us for his glory. I want to encourage you to do something before I pray. I want you to use your bulletin, your notes for the outline. As the service proceeds, not just the sermon, but even the closing song and even throughout the day, when a blessing comes to your mind, just jot a word or two down so that you can remember it, so that when you come back tonight, you'll be able to share a great blessing from God. Let us pray. Lord, I'm reminded of the song that we from time to time sing, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. I pray, Lord, that you will touch our hearts in this service, that you will encourage us to use our lips as a sacrifice of praise to you tonight. As we listen with our ears, may our ears and our heart be touched by you so that we can praise you with what we hear and what we feel within our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the greatest blessing of all, and that is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name I pray, amen. The Old Testament Hebrew word for bless, the primary word, is barak, which literally means to bow the knee, to adore, to salute, and it even carries the idea of endowment, to be able to empower a person. The Greek New Testament word is more familiar. It's the word we use for eulogy, to speak well of, to invoke favor upon, to consecrate with goodness, to say something good about. So I want in this message to cover three main areas related to the issue of blessing. First of all, our call to be a blessing. If you're a believer this morning, you have been called to be a blessing. Secondly, I want to look at the channels or the avenues that God primarily uses for us to be a blessing, and then close with a few challenges that we have that block us from being a blessing to other people. I would like to encourage you to turn to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll be covering a lot of different places, but this is the primary area where we see that we are called to be a blessing. Now, keep in mind that the book of 1 Peter was written to those of the Jewish faith that had found Christ who were suffering in persecution. In fact, several places he addresses the area of being attacked for your faith. I want to begin reading at verse 8 of chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. And here's where we see that God calls us to be a blessing. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. And that would be the word eulogy. Speak well of. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good, and let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God's deepest desire is to use us to be a blessing to others. So we might want to stop here and just define blessing in the sense of the biblical words that are used. And I've come up with this definition. It's any favorable gift of endowment and empowerment from God to enrich others. In a moment, we'll look at the spiritual gifts that God gives to us. He gives those as empowerments to bless and enrich the lives of others. James says, every good and perfect gift is from above. That's why A.W. Tozer said, if it's good, God did it. If it's bad, I did it, and it's worse than it looks. Because any good gift comes from our Father above. But we have to be fair and to present the caveat. And here's the caveat. God desires deeply to bless, but he also has within his power to curse. And I want to read this verse, but there's other verses that substantiate this from the book of Numbers, chapter 22, verse 6. And these are the words of Balaam. He says, come now, curse this people for me. Since they are too mighty for me, perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them from the land, for I know that whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the caveat is that on the opposite end of blessing is being cursed. And when creation started, it was God's intention that there be nothing but blessing. Listen to this from chapter 1 of Genesis. And God blessed them, the man and the woman, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Now we all know how that turned out. It would be interesting to know just how long they made it. Was it a few days, few hours, few weeks? Did they have a month of paradise? Did they have a year? We don't know that. My hunch is it didn't last very long. But they had it made. Adam might be the most interesting character that we'll meet in glory. He might have the longest line. What were you thinking? Why did you do that? Why did you mess up? You had it made. We would have had it made. But you messed it up. And because it got messed up, God now has the power to bring curse and cursings upon us. In the New Testament, this theme continues. I want to kind of mix things up a little bit here. First of all, at least I memorized these verses with saying it blessed, but what if we just said blessed? And what if we said, if you're poor in spirit, you'll be blessed? Or what if we said, if you are a person who mourns, you will be blessed? And if you're a meek person, you'll be blessed. And right on down the line, blessed or blessed are the peacemakers. For they shall be called sons of God. Jesus desires for us to be a blessing. So let's look at some of the main channels of how God flows his blessings to others. And I want to start with a passage that blends this blessing and curse, and I'm going to say something later in the message about a Christian's relationship with the nation of Israel, and in particular, his very own people, the Jews. When God called Abraham, we read this. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will empower you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." You see, God blesses so that we can be a blessing. "I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now the title of the message today is God's Hand of Blessing. So if we were to stop and ask this question, the following would be the answer to that question. How does God channel those blessings? How would we see the avenues of how he would bless a person? Just prior to the message, we sang a song that, to my knowledge, is the first time that I've sang it with you here at Grace Chapel. My very first exposure to the song Channels Only came on the campus of the Moody Bible Institute in Torrey Gray Auditorium with nearly 1,500 students singing that great song. Is Bryce Henry here? Hey, you would love Dr. Carmichael. He was about 6'6", and he was the director, and he would lead this. And I mean, I think maybe Bryce is his son. I don't know, because I mean, he was really, really into it. And this is not in any way to diminish, it's just the sheer numbers. 1,500 students. And he would get us going with that big pipe organ and then the grand piano up on the stage. And I mean, that I can just still hear it. "Channels only, blessed master, but with all thy wondrous power." See, it comes from God. "Flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour." So what's the first channel? It's salvation. It begins here, but if you don't have it, it ends here. In Ephesians, and this will be a book study that Brandon Gantz and Frank Vitt will be teaching. So Wyatt doesn't throw a song book at me. He'll be teaching a class on stress fractures to balance it out. But in the book of Ephesians, we have this verse, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us," how? "In Christ." With what? "With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." Lewis Berry Chafer was the founding president of Dallas Theological Seminary, the school that my son attended in Albuquerque is called Chafer Theological Seminary, named after him. He, by the way, is a product from the state of Ohio. But Lewis Berry Chafer has this book called Salvation. That's the title. And he says there's 33 things, and I can't remember all of them, but you were baptized into Christ, we're sealed, and all these great blessings, spiritual gifts come our way. Right at the moment of salvation, when we trust Jesus, he blesses us with all of these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's the good news. But the bad news is, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have these spiritual blessings. Listen to how Paul describes what we need to do to obtain these spiritual blessings. In Romans chapter 4, he uses David as an example. And to the one who does not work, you see, we can't earn it. There's nothing. I appreciated in the service yesterday for Charlie Moore a long list of things, and he answered it with nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's only through him. There's no works at all that we could bring to him to earn. But believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one whom God counts righteous apart from works. Friend, if you walked into these premises today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, everything I'm going to share from this point on, you lose out on. The spiritual blessings that come are through Christ. That's the main channel. Dearly beloved, all of you who are in this room that know Jesus as your Savior, this is the starting point. Everything that we do flows from knowing Jesus as our Savior. This is extremely foundational and important to grasp the truth that only through him flow the ability to bless. A second channel is that of worship. It's so easy to just focus on the music, but worship also includes the preaching. It includes the giving. As you gave towards the harvest offering today, that's an act of worship. When you sing, it's an act of worship. When you pray, it's an act of worship. In fact, all of life is an act of worship. So when the psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," he's worshiping. He's speaking well of God. Listen to this account of what will take place in glory. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb," now listen to this, "to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb," God the Father, God the Son, "be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." God blesses us through Jesus so that we can worship and adore him. Thirdly, he blesses us with spiritual blessings so that we can serve him. Now, I didn't know it, didn't feel it, but on January the 5th, 1970, when a very shy young man received Christ as his Savior, God gave to me gifts. And he's given gifts to you. And we're all different. Even with the same spiritual gift of giving, there could be people who give like the widow, but there can be people who can give like a millionaire. And in the area of teaching, there are people who have a large audience and some who serve in a very small area. I was just telling, I think it was Andy Hoover I was talking to about Japan and his trips there. And my last church supported a missionary up in the mountains of Japan. I think the most his congregation ever was 15 to 20 people. That's after a life. He's my age, his whole life. He's teaching, but it's a different level than a radio speaker or a TV speaker. God gives us these gifts in order to enrich others. Listen to this. This is in the area of giving, but Paul is commending the Macedonian churches for giving to the hurting people in Jerusalem. And he says, for if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings. What does he mean by that? Well, if the Gentiles, that's us, have received the spiritual blessings that flow through knowing Jesus, which connects back to the Abrahamic covenant, I will bless them who bless you and curse those. If we share in those spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. Maybe this says it well, words from William Shakespeare in his play, The Merchant of Venice. I'm sure that you've heard a little bit of this. And Caleb Gantz, you, if I ask you this question, you'd say, yeah, I heard this on the Andy Griffith Show. Andy Taylor has quoted what I'm going to share right here. I might have to come up and ask you what episode that was on. He probably could just rip it off a lot. It was number 138 in, you know, February of 1962. I mean, he's the expert on the Andy Griffith Show. But you would have heard this on that show, but it originates from William Shakespeare. The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesses him that gives and him that takes. Isn't that good? That's good from God blessing us, and it's good from us blessing others. Fourth, our fellowship. One of the songs that we sang this morning talked about, oh, how good it is when we're together and in fellowship. Listen to this psalm. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now, I want you to think gravitationally for a moment. Where do these blessings come from? It is like the precious oil of the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. Where does oil go if you put it up here? Down. It's a symbol of blessings. Blessings go from here to down. Same with dew. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Fifthly, God uses blessing when we realize that we're only stewards. Now, this is very similar to the spiritual gifts, but to add the component that nothing really belongs to us. Paul said, this is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. When we give of our tithes, when we give of our offerings, when we realize that God has given to us so that we can bless others, then we're a steward. And sixth, separation. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tough. Because God can only use a channel that is clean. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly or the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. If we want blessing, we cannot walk with the counsel of the ungodly. We cannot wrap ourselves up into the ways and the mannerisms, the speech, the thoughts, the philosophy of the world and expect God's blessing. And last, God uses us as citizens. This is something that is hard to grasp, but we are dual citizens. Most, if not all of you, are United States citizens. If you were born in the confines geographically of what the United States is, I was in Texas, you probably were in Ohio, you automatically become a United States citizen. But the moment that you place your faith in Christ, you also become a citizen of heaven. And we're pilgrims until we get there. And these two, they butt up against each other. And I mean, it's a struggle. And I'll tell you, this is one that we all face. And just a little challenge for all of us to listen to Paul's words here about how we respect those in authority. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. We just need to be careful on how we respond to people who are in authority, and especially the governmental authorities. And I want to connect this with our relationship with God's people, Israel. It is really scary to hear from the lips of people who serve in our government not speak well of Israel and to not have a good relationship with Israel. It's heartwarming, on the other hand, when we see men and women rise up and desire this good relationship. It's just plain spiritual arithmetic. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. One plus one will always equal two. And each of us need to realize first this struggle in our citizenship, earthly and heavenly, but also realize that as believers, we need to have a responsibility to honor, respect the nation of Israel, God's people. Because, folks, it can't be very long before he returns. And I'm not here to set a date, but I don't know much more that needs to happen before he returns. And it might be after I die, and it might be before I die, but it's very, very soon. And we just need to understand that God is going to bless those people who honor his people. Now, there's a lot of other ways that God uses blessings. Parents, you're there to bless your children. Even at death, the scriptures talk about the ability to bless others. So very quickly, I want to cover a few challenges that we have in being, being a blessing. First of all, it requires understanding that we may never see the fruit. I think a lot of what we do, especially those my age and older, is planting seeds for that which we may never eat of the fruit. We plant apple trees, but may never eat the fruit. It's faith, not sight. We read in Hebrews 11:20, by faith Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Israel. I wish that I'd have had a little video camera running off to the side. One of the things that offered an opportunity for us during the 2 months we were away from you was to have the grandkids come over. Now, when they come over all at once, can you spell bedlam? with capital letter. I mean, it's wild. But if you have one or two, then you get quality time. Well, in one of the weeks, we had grandkid number five, Ronnie. And all the kids are they all are learning different instruments. All of them are different. Well, I was asking Ronnie, I said, what are you learning to play? And he said, the cello. And I responded like, and this is very sincere, not trying to embellish it at all. I said, oh, Ronnie, that is one of my favorite instruments. And he turned like this, like wow. And I said, you know, you could be really good at this. I said, I can just imagine in my mind, one day you'll be so good at this that you'll be playing somewhere over in Europe, maybe Paris, and you're playing and you in your show, your concert, by saying, I dedicate this last song to my papa. And this is the part that why I'm sharing this story. I said, I want to dedicate this to my papa, who is now in heaven. Now, what I did was I placed a blessing on him. We need to bless not just for what we will be able to see, but bless for far beyond. Even the ministry of being an interim pastor is that. I see great things for the future of this church. And it'll be fun to look back and see it, but if I don't quit riding the bike, I might not see it. The next one might not turn out so well. But by faith, I see it. So we don't always get to see it. It's my point. Secondly, it comes to the humble, not the proud. Hebrews 7:7 is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. Now, this passage is talking about Melchizedek blessing Abraham, and now Jesus, the greater Melchizedek, blessing us. We're the inferior. He's the superior. The point is, it takes humility to be blessed. Third, it comes often through pain and personal struggle. Jacob had to wrestle with the angel of the Lord, but he got blessed. Jabez lived a life of pain, but received a blessing. Number four, it often involves a sacrifice on our part. We have to give up something. We read of David, when he finished the offering, the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people. Sacrifice, then blessing. And lastly, it's all wonderful to be on the receiving end. And people have blessed us over the years with kindnesses. I remember this happened just a week before Thanksgiving. I believe the year would have been 1992, if my memory is correct. We had this older couple come up to us. What they didn't know is that we wanted to take our kids to Disney World. Now, after doing it, I don't think I would want Disney World Part 2, but that's another story. But that was the desire of our heart to take them there. Well, even then, the tickets were pretty high, and I understand they're just way off the charts now, but this couple didn't know, and they came up to us, and they said, we got this problem. We've got this unit down in Florida. It's for Thanksgiving week, and our daughter was supposed to come from New Jersey, and they can't come, and she went through the whole story. I said, would you like to have it? I said, well, can we think about it? And then about a second later, I said, yeah. I'm telling you what, we could have never, never afforded what that place was like. Man, I thought, that's where the Garden of Eden's at. You know, I mean, it was wow. It was wonderful to receive that. But I can tell you, as great as that experience was, it's much, much better to be the one blessing somebody else. In closing, we need an awareness of God's blessings. And when we're aware of God's blessings, it grants to us His acceptance and approval. That's what tonight is about. To bless the Lord and share what He's done for us. Warren Wiersbe says, "I have come to the conclusion that a blessing is any act of God that brings Him glory by accomplishing His will and helping His people grow and to do His will." I close with how Jesus left this earth. It's a premier example of how we ought to live our lives and how we ought to exit our lives. But when He ascended back to heaven, we read this from the book of Luke. "He led them out as far as Bethany. And then lifting up His hands, He blessed them. And while He blessed them, He parted from them and was carried up into heaven." Now, if I just stop there, that would be great. But I want to read what the text continues with, because this is why He blessed them. "And they worshiped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple," doing what? "Blessing God." He blesses so we can bless, so we can bless and bless and bless. As I close this message, I'm going to pray for those people that have been listening today who got stuck on number one channel. Number one channel is knowing Jesus. And I'm going to pray for you. And if you would be willing to come to me after the service, I would like to show you how to enjoy all these spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Father, may You touch and move in our hearts as God's people to richly enjoy the blessings of heaven. As we gather tonight, may there be a sweet spirit and may there be a rejoicing in our hearts to hear how You have blessed us. But Father, as we pray now, our hearts go out to any person that has been under the hearing of Your word this morning who would love to have this life of blessing. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin, help them to understand that Jesus took that sin for them, and come in trusting faith to Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to always remember that the only way we can be a blessing is through Him. In Jesus' name, amen.